Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 9, studying Matthew chapter 9. As we get started, these reminders, though our programs air thousands of times every month, they do not air continuously everywhere. But if you want it, you can have full-time, unlimited access to all of our materials, including all of the broadcasts that we air, by going to internationalgospelhour.com and by clicking the free menu. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, we encourage you to try our free, self-paced, online Bible study program. Just go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org in order to start. Or you can click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer, you can take our free 30-lesson Bible study series by mail. To start today, just call our toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988. Let's get into a study of God's Word, Matthew chapter 9, today. We left off in our last broadcast at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, where Jesus saw Matthew sitting at the tax office and said, "Follow me." And Matthew followed Jesus. All of the apostles were Jews, meaning, of course, that Matthew was also a Jew. Local Jewish toll or tax collectors did not have the best reputation with the general populace, but they were held in even lower esteem by the religious leaders. As part of the system that imposed fees, tolls, duty, and taxes for the benefit of Rome or her subordinates, in this case most likely Herod Antipas, they would have been doubly despised. First, because they worked, even though indirectly, for Rome, and then second, because they regularly associated with Gentiles. That would have, in the eyes of many religious leaders, made them unclean, and it would have made those who associated with them unclean as well. And yet, Jesus called Matthew, this Jewish man who sat at the tax office, not only to follow him, but to be one of his 12 apostles. The text says, "Now it happened." What does that mean? It appears to be another bridge, another transition phrase to move to the next topic, and not much more than that. It moves us to what we see next. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 says that Jesus sat at the table in the house. This indicates that Jesus was eating there. It's easy to assume that it was the same house that we have encountered several times already in Matthew's gospel. Remember, Jesus told Matthew to follow him, so it would appear likely that Jesus was heading to a specific destination, perhaps the house where Jesus was already staying. That would be if what we have been reading and interpreting, hopefully consistently so far, that would be the house of Peter and Andrew in Capernaum. Matthew, it appears, joined Jesus at that house. Or did he? Jesus not only was at the table in the house, he was not only at the table in the house with Matthew, Jesus and Matthew were joined at that table by many tax collectors and sinners. Matthew's narrative does not tell us what happened between Jesus meeting Matthew and the arrival at this house, nor does it tell us how the assembled tax collectors and sinners came to be sitting at that table with Jesus and Matthew. Did Matthew invite them? Did Jesus invite them? Did they see Matthew and Jesus walking together and just follow along? Was it a prearranged gathering to which Jesus was invited? We do not know, not from this passage anyway, all of those answers. We do, however, have two parallel texts, one in Mark and one in Luke, that provide some of the answers that we are looking for. Here's what Mark tells us. "Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him." That's Mark 2, verse 15. Mark informs us that the house was not Peter's and Andrew's house, but rather Levi's house. It also tells us that the tax collectors and sinners were sitting together with Jesus and his disciples. And then finally, it tells us that the tax collectors and sinners followed Jesus. The specifics of when, where, why, and how they did so are not spelled out here. Luke backs up Mark's account, but it adds another dimension to Mark's account. Luke chapter 5, verse 29 reads, "Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them." Mark told us that the gathering was at Levi's house, but Luke tells us that Levi gave him, that's Jesus, that Levi gave him a feast in his own house. Jesus was, according to this passage, an honored guest at Matthew or Levi's house. One question answered, it was not at the same house where Jesus was staying. It was at Matthew's house. The other questions that we raised, however, are not answered, not fully anyway. How did Matthew, called Levi in Mark and Luke, how did Matthew follow Jesus, as all three accounts indicate, and yet both Matthew and Jesus end up at Matthew's house? At some point, Jesus' directive, "Follow me," to Matthew, turned into Matthew's invitation for Jesus to come to his home for a feast. The tax collectors and sinners were invited for at least two reasons, it would seem. First, they probably knew Matthew, and second, because, as we saw in Mark's account, many of the tax collectors followed Jesus. Not surprising at all when we consider that in Luke's gospel, John the Baptizer was followed by tax collectors, some of whom asked him about their responsibility to be right with God. The text says, "Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him," that's John the Baptizer, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he, that's John, and he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." That's Luke 3, 12 and 13. Though we do not know all of the particulars that brought Matthew or Levi together with Jesus and his disciples and other tax collectors and sinners, we do know this. This group attracted the attention, that is, it attracted the criticism of the Pharisees. They asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Two major interconnected issues concern the Pharisees. First, Jesus and his disciples' religious observance, or lack of it, relative to meals, and then second, who they were eating with. First, the Pharisees were very discriminating about all things food-related. On another occasion, Jesus and his disciples were taken to task because they did not wash their hands in the approved way. Mark chapter 7, verses 2 and 3 reads, "Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders." We read about that again in Matthew chapter 15, verse 2, verse 20, and in Luke chapter 11, verse 38. And then second, eating, sometimes referred to as table fellowship, eating indicated, to Jesus' critics anyway, that Jesus not only associated with tax collectors and sinners, but that Jesus approved of them in some way. The Pharisees interpreted association to be agreement. From the Pharisees' perspective, tax collectors were often grouped with sinners. Here, for example, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, they were grouped with Gentiles, Matthew 18, verse 17. They were associated with prostitutes, harlots, Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. And, as the self-righteous Pharisee who prayed said, they were associated with extortioners, unjust, and adulterers, Luke chapter 18, verse 11. To their way of thinking, Jesus' association with such wicked people made Jesus suspect, it made his teaching suspect, and it made everything that he did, including his miracles, suspect as well. Jesus' response to the Pharisees' challenge demonstrated his concern for the souls of all humanity. Matthew records these words. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. Temptation occurs in three general ways according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. That passage says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Christians are, obviously, concerned about succumbing to those three temptations: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Some are so concerned that, rather than living in the world and risking the world's influence in their lives, they have withdrawn from the world and adopted an isolationist approach. Their mindset appears to be summed up this way: "The world will not affect me, not if I have nothing to do with it." It's true that Christ's disciples are not of the world. And it's also true that Christ chose us out of the world, John 15, verse 19. But neither expression demands that we have nothing to do with the world. Yet, that was the method of operation of the Pharisees. Generally known as the separated ones, their approach to righteousness was to refrain from interaction with the world. Because of that, they were very suspicious of anyone who did not take their approach to dealing with worldly issues and worldly people. You can see why Jesus, then, was a big target for their criticisms. A question: how does a physician heal those who are sick? Doctors do not help sick people by avoiding all contact with them. No, not at all. Instead, doctors are all about connecting with, that is, associating with sick people, not because they want to become sick themselves, but rather so that they can make sick people well. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 9. This reminder, as we draw to a close, let me encourage you to consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.